Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
You better believe it.
Here's John Williams.
We got lots of big thoughts coming your way today, and a lot of them will be courtesy of other people, not me. We'll start with Jason Grotto from the Tribune. His page one piece today is, well, headlines in the Chicago Tribune. It was yesterday, and it was the day before. You heard the assessor's office comment about it on the Steve Cochran show earlier today here on WGN Radio. So are the taxes that you're paying on your real estate in Cook County fair? The Tribune has bit this off, and we're all chewing on it with them. It's a new thing I just made up, and we'll do that until 1:30. After 1:30, we'll join the Jeff Sessions session and follow that for at least an hour. Let's see how that goes. I don't want to live in a world where Mr. Sessions strikes me as fascinating, but now I do. And we'll do that at 1:30. Jason Grotto's piece in the Chicago Tribune is headlined today. This is the third part of a three-part series, An Era of Errors, How a Bit of Computer Code Fooled Taxpayers, Flouted Illegal Immigrants. In essence, it is that if you live in a nice neighborhood, this is the gist, at least my takeaway from the three-part series, if you live in a nicer neighborhood in Cook County with a nicer house, chances are that your house is undervalued for tax purposes. You're not paying what you should be. And the opposite is true, too. If you're in a working-class neighborhood, if you have a $75,000 or an $85,000 or $100,000 home, it may well be that you are paying more than your fair share. Jason, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks again for having me.
That's my takeaway. Is that a reasonable takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, that's one of the major things that we found.
What else do you want people to know from this massive three-part series?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the lack of transparency in the office. You know, we spent nearly, you know, well over a year in looking at the assessor's office, and we still don't know how they come up with residential assessments.
They had a new computer program that evidently is not being used, or a new scheme, a new algorithm, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they had one that was developed under a grant from the MacArthur Foundation. It actually started under the previous assessor, James Houlihan, because he recognized that the system was what they call regressive, that lower-priced homes were overvalued and higher-priced homes were undervalued. This was a function of many different things, a change in the county ordinances, the housing market crash, and just their models outdated and doesn't work very well. And so Houlihan recognized this and got a grant from the MacArthur Foundation and had some experts come up with a new model. The assessor's office touted that model in 2015. We went and you know, took that press release that came out and, you know, were put in touch by the assessor's office with the people who built the model. And based on our work, we found they didn't implement the model.
Joseph Berrios' office is the one we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Did he cooperate with your investigation?
I mean, the office provided us with records under the Freedom of Information Act.
Did you interview him for the piece?
No.
Did you try?
We did multiple times.
Why did he not want to talk to the Tribune about this?
I couldn't speak to that.
Tom Scher, who's his deputy, mm-hmm. has spoken considerably after you and I spoke on Saturday. He called in on our show. He was a guest on Steve Cochran's show today. He takes issue with some of the things that you have been reporting and saying. We're going to play back some of Steve Cochran's interview and let you respond, just so our listeners, morning and now early afternoon, can hear both sides.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Their take on it and your assessment of that. One thing that they said you are mistaking is that you are not including estates. You know, you are including estate sales, which tend to drive down the value of these properties. So if it's if it looks like the numbers are skewed, it's because we aren't comparing apples and oranges. Here's part of Share with Steve Cochran.
Very importantly, it included estate sales. They trimmed out the other outliers, but they included estate sales. So you see examples in the paper of three homes that we said it's worth X dollars, it sold for less, so we must be wrong. We must be overvaluing. In fact, they were estate sales.
What's your reaction to that? Did you include too many estate sales in your research?
First of all, there's no such thing as an estate sale when you sell property. So that's number one. Number two, let me just say that we shared every single one of our findings with the assessor's office. We gave them more than a week to respond. They responded the first time and basically got it wrong. We gave them another opportunity to respond. We took those responses very seriously. Every single point that they raised, we vetted. We went back, checked our work again, brought it before our experts. All of the work that we did, people can go online. They can see the study. It's more than 100 pages of work that we did. We did a full study. We followed industry standards and practices and had it vetted by experts in the field. The issues that Tom raises about these so-called estate sales, again, not true, are simply people who someone had passed away and they sold the house. They were arm's length transactions. It was not three. It was one. And that they raised. And we've screened every single sale, every single example that we use.
Wait a minute, we're talking about one or two or three instances?
That's another point that I want to get to. But just on this particular issue, because it keeps coming up and it's disingenuous. We followed every standard that's set out by the International Association of Assessing Officers. Every deed that we use was either, just to get technical, a warranty deed or a trustee deed. There are some cases when something's put in probate court and there's a probate deed, we threw all those out. Foreclosures, we threw out. Sales between relatives, we threw out. Sales that weren't advertised were thrown out.
Why? Because those might not reflect the actual market value.
Those are not what are considered arm's length transactions. We only looked at arm's length transactions where the parties weren't related, where the deeds were done, you know, just a regular vanilla, plain vanilla sale. Just because someone passed away and their family wants to sell a house does not mean it's not an arm's length transaction. It's just not true. And so that's point number one. Point number two is that they are focusing on these handful of issues. We had 700,000 points of data. This is based on an extensive analysis. And so they're trying to obfuscate by picking one or two things and saying we got it wrong when in fact we didn't, but have yet to answer the question as to whether or not assessments during the period that we study were fair and accurate. They have no data on that. They don't have their own study. We have a study. We presented our findings. We've been above board. Our findings also mirror what the Illinois Department of Revenue, they do their own sales ratio studies, and our findings are actually in line with theirs.
I wonder why they're so resistant. I mean, maybe nobody likes being outed for being inaccurate. I guess I've answered my own question, but you think they would welcome better computers, better funding, a bigger staff? I mean, they don't want to get it wrong. I wonder why they're so, I'll ask it again, why are they so resistant to this? Why are they fighting you on the facts?
Well, I mean, I think it's a difficult pill to swallow, but I can't answer. I don't know why they're...
Fair enough. Okay, here's cut number two from Steve Cochran's show today. They're talking about tax relief.
The previous assessor, Jim Houlihan, whom Jason Grotto wrote about today in the Tribune, he wouldn't give any relief on appeals.
He wouldn't give any relief on appeals. I don't know what that means, and is that true?
What it means is that would the assessor's office grant appeals that were put before them? I mean, he did give relief on appeals. He just didn't give nearly as many as Joe Berrios has given. I mean, there are some technical issues that have changed that. So one thing that the assessor's office has done is they now allow people to appeal online.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the appeals process. Mm-hmm. This is point number three, Elif. This is Tom Scher with Steve Cochran today talking about the appeals process in Cook County.
Well, the overriding premise of the Tribune piece seems to be that the appeals process is not just something that works in favor of people if they choose to exercise it, but the appeals process is the fallback position. It's the default. In other words, we're not sure we're going to get it right. Mm-hmm. Go appeal it.
Right.
That's not a way to run an office.
And that's not the way we run our office. Not at all. That's a misrepresentation. I'll tell you why.
But do you disagree that that's the premise of the piece?
The premise,
because that seemed to be what jumped out.
That is the premise of the piece, that we rely too heavily on appeals.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If people choose not to appeal, then that's making the appeal system flawed.
Because get it right the first time would be the answer.
Well, see, that's...
Or as close to possible.
Here's the key. The appeal is not a fallback position or having the taxpayer do our work for us. The appeal is a key step in the late stage of the assessment process. Look at it this way. there are 1.55 million pieces of residential property.
Right.
Only a fraction of them appeal. Now, that's not because they don't know how to appeal and don't want to appeal. That's because the figures are pretty much on target.
Jason Grotto, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, he said in that clip himself that it's part of the assessment process. It from what the research we've done, it shouldn't be. Certainly not as much as it is in Cook County. No other jurisdiction we could find in the country has as many appeals or relies as heavily on appeals as Cook County. And they themselves have come out repeatedly and said that they encourage people to appeal, that that people should appeal. You know, Tom said that there are 1.5 million parcels of property in 2000. You know, each, you know, the county's broken up into three sections. So, you know, different sections will appeal at different times. In the city of Chicago in 2015, 370,000 parcels were part of appeal process. That's a very high percentage, first of all. You know, so, you know, you can look at quotes from Cranes and other other publications where Mr. Scher is encouraging people to appeal and say it's part of their assessment process. And I've seen no literature that obviously appeals are part of every assessment system. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the level of the amount. It's very high.
Well, Steve Cochran made the point that the onus should be on the taxpayer to appeal if they don't have a problem. It's not on the county. I don't mean to misrepresent Steve's thoughts, but let me just throw this out there, yeah, and you can react to it. The county's doing the best it can. Maybe they get it right. Maybe they get it wrong. Maybe they're high or low. But the onus is on you, the taxpayer, to petition it, to sort of make sure the county gets it right. We can't expect the county to get it right every time. If there's a quibble, that's on you, the taxpayer.
Well, I would say the county's not doing a whole lot to get it right the first time. And that starts with the sales ratio studies, which are checking their work. They have admitted, at least to me, we filed Freedom of Information Request Acts and they didn't give it. They said they don't have them. They don't do the studies to check their work. So they're not even, it seems like, attempting to see if they're doing a good job on the front end. And then, you know, then they leave it up to the taxpayers to appeal.
Okay, let's back up for a second. If I sell my house, mm-hmm, I get $100,000 for my house. Mm-hmm. That's therefore what the house is worth, right? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't the taxes be based on that, the market value of the home? You,
yes,
know, excluding estate sales or you know, sales
there's
to
no
family.
Such thing where as there's an estate sale.
I knew you were going to say that. Thank you. What am I supposed to call those sales? Where
those are foreclosures? I mean, it's a type of deed. Yeah, distress sale or probate sale.
Fair enough. Okay. So say we've determined that the home is worth $100,000. That I file that information with the county. They have it. If they're supposed to tax me 1.5% of the sales value, then they've got the operative number in my estimation. Why is this so hard? Everybody knows what the house sold for. Charge them 1.5% or 2%, whatever your multiplier is, and ta-da, you've got the tax rate. Why is this so complicated?
Well, first of all, the system that you're describing is called an acquisition-based system. So there are some states like Florida and California that do base your assessments off actual sales. Cook County does it a little bit differently. They use something called the sales approach, where they take sales in the past and they try to predict what the market value is in that particular tax year. And that's really what we're doing, is we're testing how good were their predictions. We're not saying they have to be perfect. In fact, the International Association of Assessing Officers has a band of what is a reasonable error rate. And so no one here is saying that these have to be perfect.
I thought the band was pretty generous,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 15%.
15%, yeah, they said you could be off. And I'm thinking, I never get to be 15% off, and I would like you not to be 15% high on my taxes.
Well, the point here, John, is they don't even know how far they're off because they don't do the studies. So how can you know if you don't do the studies? That's the crux of the matter.
Jason Grotto's three-part piece in the Chicago. What's the response been?
It's been overwhelmingly positive and outraged. People are outraged.
People are ticked.
Yeah.
Are people in Winnetka ticked?
Because yeah, it's actually, you know what?
They're the ones that are getting away with something here.
Well, I don't think they're getting away with anything. You know, and even people who appeal from higher-priced homes, they're just following incentives. And I think the thing that every taxpayer wants is to make sure that their tax system is fair and transparent. And what we've shown in our series is that in Cook County, neither one of those things are true. We still don't know how they valued residential properties in 2015, so they're not transparent. We're in court with them. We've sued them. you know, we won, they're appealing, and we've also found that it's unfair. That's what our sales ratio studies show.
There's a point in the conversation Steve Cochran had this morning with Tom Scherer from the county office, and he said, there's a big misunderstanding in your reporting today.
Okay.
I'll play that soundbite next on WGN. In our studio for a few more minutes, then Jason Grotto, his page one piece today is headlined, An Era of Errors. It's a three-part series about how the county assesses your property taxes and how it's not sufficiently transparent, says the Tribune, or fair. And yet Tom Scherer from that office on Steve Cochran's show today said, this will be track four, LF this.
And this is one of the big things that I think people would misunderstand from reading the Tribune's piece. We don't say this house sold for $100,000, that's what it's worth. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled we can't do that.
It's unconstitutional, he said today.
I would just encourage people to go on to our website, read our story, read the study. We never say that. I don't think anyone would get anything from that.
He called that sales chasing, and they can't do that.
That is true. That is called sales chasing. But we certainly never said that the assessor has to give it 100% right. In fact, we explicitly say in the story, no mass appraisal system is perfect.
Okay. He also said this. This will be track five, Elif.
You don't need an attorney to appeal. You don't need to pay a fee. You don't need to do any research. We'll get the comparables for you. So it's easier to appeal than people realize.
That's all true. I don't have a problem with any of that.
That's
true.
Track number six, more about the appeals process in Cook County.
Appeals are up because it's a fairer process.
But is it an overcorrection now for what the previous didn't do right?
That is false.
What do you mean by that?
So actually, under former assessor James Houlihan, according to our research and other people's research, including the Illinois Department of Revenue's research, the assessments under James Houlihan were much more fair than what's happened under Joe Berrios. Part of that is the result of the market crash and changes that were made to the county ordinance by James Houlihan. In our story today, we outline how inside the computer codes that valued property under Houlihan and his assessor Hines were snippets of code that caused all values to go low, to be lower than they should have been. He changed that in 2009. The result of that was that it broke the model, along with the housing market crash. That's another key factor, maybe a more important factor. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at industry standards for regressivity and uniformity, they were actually better under Houlihan. They're worse under Berrios. That might be what's driving some of the appeals. It's quite possible.
Before we go, based on your reporting and the reaction you've been getting, what's the next story you're going to write about this?
Well, I think there's a lot of areas to look at from here. I mean, I think we're going to be pushing as to, you know, why they didn't use the model, you know, that they said they were supposed to use. It was free. Now they have a $29 million contract with a private company to do it. And there's also, you know, the fact that, you know, there's a commercial and industrial. That's where the big money is for the attorneys and the political connections.
And you've made that connection in your piece. It's in the Chicago Tribune. Read it online. Go get Sunday's and Monday's papers, too, or read it all online. We appreciate Tom Scherer coming on Saturday and on Steve Cochran's show today, and we sure appreciate your reporting and coming in, Jason. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's follow this story.
Yeah.
You do all the work, and then we'll just talk about it on the radio.
I'd be happy to come on.